Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Wednesday. Yeah, what an absolutely marvelous day. There's some interesting news. And despite what Charles just said, this is not a victory for Governor Youngkin. This is a victory for we the people of our beloved Commonwealth. That's who scored a victory with the Supreme Court decision. Now, I'm offering three cheers to Governor Youngkin and Attorney General Meares for actually having the testicular fortitude, as Mr. McMahon used to say, to stand up and do the right thing. But this is just a victory for common sense. And despite all of the coverage of this as, quote, a purge, it's a purge. It's not a purge. There's no hunting involved, no pecking involved, nobody tracking it. These are 1,600 people who said, no, I'm not a citizen, but okay, I'll register to vote. There's no harm, no foul in this. Nobody's being deprived of any rights. The law in question signed into law by Tiny Tim Kaine, utilized by every governor since then, including despicable Ralph Northam. So it's very nice that it's being tagged as a victory for Governor Youngkin, but knowing Governor Youngkin, I guarantee you Governor Youngkin agrees with me on this. It's not a victory for him or the AG or anybody else. It's a victory for the people. Speaking of the Attorney General, Jason Meares is going to be dropping by a little bit later today, 5:05. Looking forward to chatting with him. And I am trying to figure out, I know there's been a difficult couple of moments for a lot of us, trying to figure out whether we are, in fact, a bitter clinger or a deplorable or a fascist or a Nazi, or now are we garbage? I don't know. I mean, I just can't keep up with all of this. I thought for the longest time I was just, you know, Jeff Katz. And I don't mean like Jeff Katz like I used to be when I was really Jeff Katz. Yeah, I'm Jeff Katz here. But that's what I thought I was. I thought I was just Jeff Katz. But apparently I'm all of these other things, and I guess I need to pay more attention to these things. So here are our options. I just want to give them to you in case you've been playing the game at home. You are either, as Barack Obama said, a bitter clinger. Remember, we were bitter people who were clinging to our gods and guns. Mm-hmm. Or we were part of the basket of deplorables that from Hillary, still not the President Clinton, or Kamala Harris told us we were fascists. Now, along the way, we were also all termed as racists, you know, but that's just part of the mix. D would be another option. We are Nazis. I've never seen so many of my Hebrew homies at a Nazi event. I'll tell you that right now. I really haven't. We had guys at the Nazi event at Madison Square Garden rapping to Tefillin. God, somebody didn't get the memo, huh? And finally, last night, Joe Biden reminded us that we are all garbage. Why don't we just remind everybody, Germ? Let's grab that, what's his name, Joe Biden clip.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
Yeah. Now, according to the water carriers, the bootlickers, the assorted bum kissers in the legacy news media ranks, Joe Biden did not actually say that Donald Trump supporters were garbage. Can you play that again?
Or Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people.
No, no, no. I don't want all of it. Just give me the part where he calls us garbage. We don't need all of it. Stop.
There's just supporters. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
Right. That's the part where he didn't call us garbage, even though, back me up on this, Jerm, didn't he just call us garbage?
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
Yeah. Well, I maybe it's me. Politico said that's not what he said. Can I hear it again? Because I'm pretty sure that's what he said.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Look, I had a physical not too long ago. With the best doctor anywhere on planet Earth, Dr. Bob Quarles, Threshold Medical in Midlothian, former medical director for the World Wrestling Federation, and my friend. By the way, he would be my doctor even if he were not my friend, and he would be my friend even if he were not my doctor. I mean, he's that good a dude. But my hearing is apparently okay. Nothing wrong with it. Hmm. But Politico said that's not what Joe Biden said. Oh, and then who's the chick who's updating her resume as we speak, who I think is changing her Facebook relationship status to it's complicated and updating her LinkedIn. The DEI press secretary. Right, right. The minister of propaganda, Karine Jean-Pierre. She also said that's not what Joe Biden said. Okay, well, let's go, Mr. Madden, to the big telestrator here. Jerm, just one more time. What did he say?
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know how you can have any questions about that. It's pretty clear. You know what's really disgusting? And I mean disgusting. Not like, oh, geez, somebody put mayonnaise on roast beef. Disgusting. I mean, really flipping disgusting. That any of these self-proclaimed serious journalists and real reporters would dare to say that Joe Biden did not refer to Donald Trump supporters as garbage.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
It doesn't get much clearer, does it?
Got hairy leg that turned blonde in the sun.
But it doesn't get much clearer, does it? He said what he said. You know why he said it? Well, there are a couple of reasons why he said it. Number one, he said it because he truly does believe it. But I think there's also a part of him, nudged on by Dr. Jill Biden, that he said it because he doesn't want Kamala Harris to win. This is his final blank you to the people who knifed him in the back. Schmuck Schumer, Barack Obama, and Nancy Pelosi. They stuck so many shivs in that guy's back, he looked like a colander when it was over. And this is his final payback. You people told me I wasn't up to it. You people pushed me off the cliff. You people gave us our not ready for primetime vice president as our clearly not ready for primetime presidential candidate. Well, guess what? Here's my parting gift for you. I mean, Joe Biden's got a lot of work to do, whether you realize it or not, he does. He is doing his best to to help Kamala Harris lose the election. More importantly, he's got to pick a date after the election when it's clear that Kamala Harris has lost to make it official that he is giving a presidential pardon to his idiot son, Fredo Biden. That's going to happen. What else? All right, well, that's it. All right, no, Mary, you're right. Never mind. He doesn't have that much to do, but yeah. You didn't hear the apostrophe after the R and the S in supporters?
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
No, I did not, but thank you. How about smelly Walmart shoppers? Have we been referred to as smelly Walmart shoppers? I don't honestly recall that, but yeah, maybe we are. Hit me up on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. John from New Kent says, Jeff, I'm personally proud to be a bitter gun and Bible-clinging, deplorable, Trump-supporting piece of garbage. Well, John, you forgot racist and fascist and Nazi. You got to own it all, man. You can't pick and choose. It's all or nothing, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it is crazy, though. But this should give you the clearest example of what the left really thinks. I've told you this for a long time, haven't I? I've said this for a long time, that the leftists legitimately do not like us. And you have done your best to convince yourself that that's not true. I know, because I did the same thing. I really didn't want to believe that there were people who just disliked me that much. But that is how the leftists feel. They hate us. I've seen it up close and personal. I've listened as people have said horrible things about conservatives and then gone out and pretended that they liked conservatives. They just disagreed with them on policies. Believe me, I've been behind the scenes on that stuff. They hate us. Don't waste your time dealing with that. Don't exert any energy trying to deal with it. Simply accept it and move on. Some of the most powerful positioning for anyone is the ability to say, I don't care. When you realize that the leftists hate you, and then you start doing all sorts of gymnastics in your brain. Well, I wonder why that is. Why don't they like me? What do we disagree on? Maybe I could do this. Don't do that. Because there's nothing you can do that's going to make them like you. There's nothing that you can say that's going to make them like you. Why? Because they don't like you. They hate you. They think you're an idiot. They think you're a Nazi. They think you're a fascist. They think you are deplorable. And they think that you are garbage. Every once in a while, you just have to believe people when they tell you things. And they have told us everything that we need to know. Quick reminder about the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. That is always available to you. I will remind you that Jason Miaris is going to be here at 5:05. We'll talk about this Supreme Court decision that, no, is not a victory for Governor Glenn Youngkin. It is a victory for common sense and every decent, upstanding citizen of the United States of America. 316, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Me too! Yeah! Me too! Guess what? Trash votes. Now, does trash cover garbage? You know, when I was growing up, there was a very clear distinction between trash and garbage. Because we had a little tiny garbage pail, and garbage, at least in the city of Philadelphia when I was growing up, was classified as like chicken bones or, you know, nasty stuff. And trash was everything else that wasn't the garbage. And in theory, we had different ways that they were picked up, although my bedroom window looked out on the alley where the trash cans were kept, and where the trash truck drove down. It's not like in this day and age where you got a big, giant trash truck and it's got that big mechanical arm. In Philadelphia, there were at least three guys on every trash truck. Why? Because it was a union gig, man. You don't want to kill the job. And they were all city employees with city pensions, which meant, well, we'll get to it when we get to it. But those guys would come rumbling down. I never noticed them collecting anything separately. We went out of our way for some reason to put the, quote, garbage in the garbage pail and then the trash in the trash cans. But, well, anyway, I don't know. I don't know if I'm... Joe Biden said I was garbage.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. There you go. And it was really interesting. I was listening to... Charles Pyle with the news a little bit earlier talking about the He was talking about Lieutenant Colonel Edward Carpenter Jr., and I thought, well, who the heck is that? And I realized, I didn't know that Frank Carpenter's real name was Edward. Did anybody else know that? He's been on the job with Chesterfield for 25 years. I swear to you, I just thought his name was Frank. But I'm very happy to say that Lieutenant Colonel, I know him as Frank Carpenter, has been selected as the new chief of police for Chesterfield County's police department. So good for him. He's a good guy. He's an up through the ranks sort of a guy. And, he and I may not have the same name, but I think he's still going to do a pretty doggone good job. And I am very, very, very happy for him, and more importantly, happy for the members of the Chesterfield County Police Department. It is 3:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Wednesday afternoon. Now, there is a lot, and I do mean a lot, that you and I are covering this afternoon. We've got our old buddy Jason Meares, the Attorney General of our beloved Commonwealth, coming by at 5:05. Talk a little bit about this big victory coming down from the Supreme Court. It should, by the way, should not be such a notable event. But, my God, it is a notable event that the Supreme Court of the United States said, yeah, you're right, Virginia, you non-citizens should not be voting. And we keep hearing from the leftists how we never, ever, 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 ever have any problems with non-citizens voting. So why then, I must ask, were the leaders on the left fighting to get these 1,600 non-citizens back on the voting rolls here in our beloved Commonwealth? It makes no sense. It makes absolutely positively no sense. So anyway, we'll talk with Jason Meares. We'll do that at 5:05. Tomorrow, we got my old buddy Chris Ruddy, the man who created Newsmax. They're getting ready to go public. Chris has been a longtime pal of Donald Trump's, and I thought it'd be appropriate to bring him in as we get closer and closer to Election Day to talk a little bit about that. Monday, we've got both Bill O'Reilly and Dinesh D'Souza dropping by. Great show prior to the election. I think it's just going to be some great, great conversation that you and I are able to have. And that's a good thing. I have been so happy taking a look at some of the courageous writing in the area of Israel and Israeli action. Because we see the nonsense all the time, right? That Israel should just stand back and allow its people to be slaughtered. And every once in a while, you get somebody who is writing about it and telling the truth about it. Michael Levine is one of those guys. Been forever since I chatted with Michael, and I saw him come up here as just somebody I felt, truthfully, you needed to hear from. So I was happy to say he said yes. Michael, good afternoon, sir.
Sir, hello, 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 and thank you for very, very much for sharing your valuable audience with me.
Well, the pleasure is mine. It's been far too long, dude. I don't know how we drifted apart or something. I don't know. But I just want to jump into this, Michael. You tell us all a little bit about what it is that you are seeing, what you're doing as you are writing about Israel, and the sort of feedback you're getting.
Well, I'm not a foreign policy expert. I'm a Jewish American that happens to own a very prominent PR and branding firm. And I watch the news with a great deal of acuity because, some despair. There's some despair, yeah, too.
Okay.
So I think that Israel has demonstrated over the last couple of months that it knows how to win this war and prosecute this war,
yep,
that they did not ask for. That on October 7th, a bunch of savages dedicated to the eradication of Israel and all Jews on the planet started.
Yep.
And Israel has prosecuted this quite brilliantly, quite intensely. Now, of course, your enemy, as Israel's enemy, has a strategy that's utterly immoral, which is to hide its fighters among civilians. So, of course, there is civilian and collateral damage. That's horrible.
That's right.
No one, and Israel, most importantly, no one approves of that. However, the alternative of Israel's annihilation is not acceptable. This war was not started by Israel, and it has prosecuted it well.
Mm-hmm.
And the arrogance of America to try to suggest to a nation 10,000 miles away in the worst neighborhood imaginable how, from the air-conditioned offices of the White House,
mm-hmm.
where everything is safe and secure, and you have butlers and security, the world looks very different to you from that perspective than it does from the perspective of watching people, being president, prime minister of Israel, and watching people that you know, that you love, your people being savagely beaten, babies burned, breasts cut off women. This is Nazi-like behavior. The only difference is Nazis were smart enough to attempt to hide it. These people don't even hide it. They're proud of it. And so, you know, the old adage, when somebody tells you who they are, believe them,
mm-hmm.
Seems good. But I just don't understand. Listen, we have to face the facts. And whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, as I am, I'm not a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
We have to face the facts that in the 4 years that President Biden and Vice President Harris have been in that office, there is a general sense in the world that America is weakened.
Right.
It began most profoundly with that absolutely grotesque withdrawal in Afghanistan.
That's right.
Once the world saw the ineptitude and the disgraceful performance of this administration in that incident, it sent a psychic signal to the world that the party's on, that the game is on, enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, President Biden, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, Vice President Harris, simply have not been able to convey a message of strength, of determination. They look, sound, and feel weak. And this is, again, not said by a Republican.
Right.
But as an American Jew, I would say this to you with all humility. And I'm a political independent, although I think of myself as a radical pragmatist. If you're Jewish and you are prepared to vote on Tuesday, and you care about the survival of your homeland or of Israel, the homeland of the Jewish people,
That's right. I
simply think that if you are considering voting, as many Jews do, for Democrats, I don't know how you reconcile this. It is cognitively dissonant. It is unexplainable mentally. I don't know how you do it. Now, you may not like Donald Trump. There are aspects of Donald Trump I don't like. But the world was empirically safer, more secure, because Donald Trump, obnoxious though he may be at times, conveys a sense of strength and determination. I mean, my God, the guy was shot in the head with a bullet, and he wouldn't give up. I mean, that is intense, as opposed to a man who could have a very difficult time walking up a flight of stairs. So, you know, I think if you're Jewish, The vote on behalf of Israel is a no-brainer. And I'm not saying you like Donald Trump. I am not. Who cares? I don't vote for people based on who I like. I vote on people based on who I think can do the best job. And there are many flaws with Donald Trump, but to vote, as Ronald Reagan asked so beautifully in 1979, before you vote, you would be wise to ask yourself this question. Are you better off than you were?
Yep.
Do you feel more safe?
Yep.
Are you more optimistic? Is your income better? And once you ask that beautiful Ronald Reagan question, dear God, I fear that the question, the answer becomes clear, though maybe inconvenient for Democrats. And so that's how I see it.
No, that's a great phrase, inconvenient. Now, I have to let people know that Michael's career, and you've had a storied career, and if it's okay with you, I'd love to get you back again, because
sure.
As I said, it's been far too long since we've had a chat on the air. But you're a PR meister, the king of PR. You took on PR challenges that, frankly, are case studies inside of courses now, because they said you got to be Meshuggah to take this guy as a PR client, and you said, "Watch here, hold my Bud Light. I'm going to show you how it's really done." But do you ever just shake your head as a PR genius looking at the White House and going, "Guys, you just don't get it, do you?"
They are so it's so interesting. The Democratic Party has become so unself-aware.
Yep.
They live in a bubble.
Yep.
Everyone they know thinks the same. They never ask the question. All they do is say, anyone who disagrees with you, me, is a Nazi, is a hater, is a sick. You know, they just condemn. They never ask the question, wait a second now. Why is half this nation seeing this differently? They have no self-awareness that I can discern.
Mm-hmm.
And it's rather, and it's led, I think, to this party becoming unrecognizable. I'm not suggesting that regular, normal, historically traditional Democrats don't have good solutions for problems. I'm suggesting that this current crew, that the party has been completely and totally taken over by a radical left-wing contingency that really seems to want to create a suicide pact for America.
You're spot on, man. Well, I'll tell you what, Michael, I'm going to leave it there. And
okay.
I will,
you got it.
Yeah, say to you, I want to get you back if that's all right.
Cause you got it.
Well, we got to talk about great stuff, Michael. I appreciate you sharing.
Thank
that
you, brother.
And thank you.
Thank you for sharing your audience.
I love it, man. They are entitled to a good dose of somebody like you who knows what he's talking about. Michael,
thanks, friend.
He's a good guy. And I mean, when you hear what his backstory is, and seriously, Germ, get Michael on again, I don't know, next week, the week after. I just like to work him back into the conversation because it's just been way too long. I saw the name pop out. I thought, oh, my God, Michael used to be a regular on the show. And how is he not a regular on the show anymore? But his career is in public relations. And public relations for folks like big-time comedians and movie producers, and he was based in Hollywood forever and ever and ever and ever, and then decided to come east, and he wound up, if memory serves, in Brookline, Mass, which is like the People's Republic. If you think Boston is insane, Brookline is insane, but with a whole bunch of money. It's crazy, but Michael's a good dude, and I do like the fact, and I appreciate the fact that he has been speaking out, writing so passionately and poignantly on the issue of Israel. Again, I'm with him. If you're a Jew in the United States of America and you are even thinking about voting for Kamala Harris, then I just don't understand you. Simple as that. It is 3:48. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Yes, Nitty. Garbage! Garbage in, garbage out. Garbage into the polling place, garbage out of the polling place. And maybe, just maybe, we'll do right. You think it's possible? You're garbage. Did you know that?
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
Yeah. Garbage! You and I are garbage. That's what Joe Biden said, and you make no mistake about it. He meant exactly what he said. Joe Biden, like all these other good, upstanding leftists, hate you. They hate you with every fiber of their being, and they always have. And I don't know how to break it to you. They always will. They think you're stupid. They think you're not capable of making decisions that count, that should count. It's all pretty clear. I got a question about Henrico County. You know, because Henrico, no offense to my friends in Henrico, you guys are going in a wacky direction. But with these special houses where the county's, I guess, ponying up money to help people buy houses, is the county also going to pony up money to pay for the upkeep of those houses? Will Henrico County also be helping those people pay the taxes on those houses? I mean, I don't know. Just, you know, inquiring minds would like to know. 3:57, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
4:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It's Wednesday afternoon. It's a little toasty. My gosh, it's like 80 degrees. Well, I mean, we came through winter, right? Wasn't that yesterday? Today it's 80. Tomorrow's going to be 80. And then, I don't know. I'm not looking that far ahead. I don't want to look that far ahead. All right, I have to look a little bit ahead because I know we've got great people like Chris Ruddy, the guy who created Newsmax. That's how you know him. I just know him as Chris because I've known him forever. Bill O'Reilly, who you know, well, we all know is Mr. O'Reilly, and then Dinesh D'Souza. That's all coming up over the next couple of days as we lead into the election on Tuesday. I think that despite the best protestations from the leftists, there's no way to spin this one. There's just no way to spin this one. Joe Biden does think we're trash. You may be surprised by that. I'm not.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
Yeah. See, I am not the least bit surprised. I guess, am I surprised that he said, quote, the quiet part out loud? Well, I think he's at a point, not just in terms of his cognitive decline, but also because he is so bitter, as he should be, and his wife, the Queen, Dr. Jill Biden, is absolutely bitter and livid that the very people who were propping him up all these years shivved him in the back. Nancy Pelosi and Schmuck Schumer and Barack Obama, boy, they couldn't stab him in the back enough. And they couldn't push him over the side of the cliff fast enough. So I think there is a part of this where Dr. Jill Biden has said, blank them. Would Joe Biden have lost all on his own? Oh, yeah. There's no question in my mind he would have lost. Is Kamala Harris poised to lose? I think she is, yeah. I have a bet going with my oldest son. And it's not a really like big detailed involved bet. I just said to him, I said, my sense is that not only does Donald Trump win, but that Donald Trump gets a 300-plus electoral votes. That would be my, again, I don't do predictions, but if I were to do a prediction, that would be the prediction I would do, but I don't want it to keep anybody from voting, so don't pay too much attention to it. I'm just sharing it like as an inner thought, and I bet a dollar with my son. I told you it wasn't a big bet. It's $1. And I don't know that he'll even pay up the dollar, but it'll be nice to have him lose. So that's where I am. So I'm not up. I'm not really. Well, I know I'm not surprised. I guess I'm not really all that upset that Joe Biden referred to me as garbage and referred to you as garbage. I've tried to share this with people for years. And there have been many people who simply have not wanted to have this information in their mind. They really, honestly, people just didn't want to know. They didn't want to think about it. They did not want to even bring themselves to the point where they could acknowledge that this is how the left feels about them. But this is how the left feels about them. And you make no mistake about it, it is how the left feels about you, and they've always felt that way about you. They may have couched it in nicer terms, but you make no mistake, that is exactly how they feel about you. And behind closed doors, let me tell you, it's even worse. Behind closed doors, when they think they might be amongst their own, when they think that there are people who kind of sort of go along with them, it's even worse. What's the motivation? That's a good question. What is the motivation? Their motivation is pretty simple. They love power. They love control. And in some way, I think they see themselves as benevolent. They look at you, they look at me, and they believe that we are garbage, as we've heard, but they think we're not very smart. And they know how smart they are. And as a result, they know what should be done for us, to us. Take a listen to President Trump after he heard about the Biden comment. Cut number three.
So you have, remember Hillary, she said deplorable, and then she said irredeemable, right? But she said deplorable, that didn't work out. Garbage, I think, is worse, right? But he doesn't know, you have to please forgive him. Please forgive him, for he not knoweth what he said.
You know, here's a weird part of the whole exchange as it involves President Trump. I do think that when push comes to shove, as much as Joe Biden hates Donald Trump, he likes him a little bit more than he likes Kamala Harris and the rest of the leftists at this point. I think he could see himself maybe not being friends with Donald Trump, but at least existing on the same planet, even though he has many times talked about taking out Donald Trump. I mean, you know he's done that, right? How about Tampon Tim Walz? Remember him playing the part of the vice presidential candidate this time? Also, apparently living down by the river in a van, but he was asked about all of the nasty stuff. And believe it or not, it's ABC News that's asking the question. It's NBC News asking the question. It's all of those legacy news media questioners sort of kind of skirting it. But CBS actually, well, you just have to hear it. Cut number five.
I want to put it into a larger context of your recent comment comparing the Sunday Trump rally to a Nazi rally. And I would also throw in there Obama's bitter clingers, guns and religion comment from a while back, the deplorable line from Hillary Clinton's campaign. And the way that Democrats are seen by some voters as disrespecting them. And I have to ask, does that
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Undercut this closing message of unity from your campaign.
Oh, we don't have his answer? Well, here, let me share it with you. I don't know what happened there. His answer is nah. Not even a full word. No, it really isn't. It's not a word, it, let alone a sentence, let alone a paragraph, let alone a full coherent thought. No, it's just a sound. Nah. Not that you missed anything, but that's exactly what he has to say. So all of that taken together, all of these assaults on you, all of these insults of you, and they still don't think there's anything wrong with it. Kamala Harris wants you to believe that she had a conversation with Joe Biden just last night. But you know what? The garbage comment didn't come up. There's a part of me that says, oh my gosh, you're lying again. And then there's a part of me that says, maybe you're finally telling the truth. Maybe it's just not that big a deal for you. Right? If the left is already of the mindset that you are garbage, when one of their own says the quiet part out loud, are they going to be overly upset or outraged that it was said? Or do they just think, well, you know, those garbage people, I mean, they're garbage anyway. They probably don't even understand what was said, so probably no harm, no foul. I don't know that this makes an election or breaks a candidacy. I really don't. But I think it is a great reminder of who they are and what they think. And what they think about you and what they think about me. There are differences between us. I don't care. I know people who do care. And those are people who are very upset today. They're hurt. I mean, honestly, their feelings are legitimately hurt as they begin to consider that the president of the United States thinks that they're garbage. My feelings are not hurt because I don't care. And it's not that I'm an unfeeling person. It's just that I long ago gave up caring what certain people think about certain things. When you know who your enemy is, when you know who is not on your side, then you just realize, okay, we'll just move on with life, right? We'll get along, move along. And that's kind of how I feel on this one. I didn't get all worked up into a tizzy. In fact, I felt somewhat amused thinking, well, today's the day I get to share as much Oscar the Grouch as is humanly possible. See, there is an upside to all of this. Coming up at 5:05, Jason Miaras, the Attorney General of our beloved Commonwealth, is going to be with us. Looking forward to chatting with him. We've got Chris Ruddy tomorrow, the man who created Newsmax. We've got Bill O'Reilly next week, Dinesh D'Souza. Tomorrow morning, John Reed is going to be here. I missed John's show this morning. Did he announce he's running for lieutenant governor this morning? Because I haven't seen a news story yet, so I'm going to assume he didn't, which means tomorrow at 6 a.m., he might very well announce it. Well, I'll be listening. I'll guarantee you that. 4:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 4:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday, and yes, it is like a permission slip to explore all of our Oscar the Grouch favorites. Because when you think Oscar the Grouch, you think garbage. Or do you think trash? I mean, he loves trash. I don't know if Oscar is on record as addressing the trash versus garbage issue. I don't know. But I've always loved Oscar. There's just, come on, there's something lovable about Oscar. I love Sesame, or at least I loved Sesame. Some of the woke PC Sesame has kind of put me off it a little bit. But, you know, we're in a sort of an odd situation. With Julia, we get Sesame, I guess, forever, right? We'll forever be watching Sesame and the Christmas Countdowner with Stiller the Elf, one of the finest episodes in the history of Sesame. It really is a good show. But there were lessons from Sesame that were learned a long time ago by most of us. And now I just think it's a good reminder. When Joe Biden calls half the country garbage and then lies about it.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
Yeah. Are you having any difficulty understanding that? I should ask you that, shouldn't I? Yeah. Hit me up on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. Listen to it one more time and tell me if you have any difficulty at all understanding what it is that Joe Biden is saying.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
All right. Now, the spin is on like nobody's business, but it's not getting any traction. Even amongst the goofy leftists, it's not getting any traction because they're torn. No, they really are. They're torn because to their inner core, they agree with exactly what Joe Biden said there. That half of America, well, we're garbage. They don't have any problem with him saying that at all. They're just not crazy about him saying it out loud where everybody can hear it. But behind closed doors, I guarantee you, it's exactly what they're saying because it's exactly what they feel. And this is not new for them. And it ought not be new for you. You just have to tell me, are we garbage? Are we deplorable? Are we bitterly clinging to guns and God? Are we bitter clingers? What are some of the other... Oh, fascist. I forgot about that one. Kamala Harris has called us all fascists. Half the nation, apparently, we are fascists. Oh, and don't forget their unifying cry, which is that you and I are Nazis. And I'm just here to tell you, having watched the Madison Square Garden event, once again, somebody didn't get the memo on how Nazi events are supposed to be put together. Because it seems to me, as a Jewish guy, there were way too many Jewish guys there. I mean, if you want to do a Nazi event, the first thing you do is go down your invitation list and say, no, no, no. You don't open it up. Oh, and then flying the Israeli flag at a Nazi event. Man, that has fooled everybody, hasn't it? I am, I think, more comfortable than I've been in a while. Because I now see exactly what's going on. And I'm hoping that others do as well. What's this scandal brewing in the city of Richmond, by the way? Some developers that are doing things that are, shall we say, questionable? Paul Goldman will be with us in just a moment. 425, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
435, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday afternoon. All sorts of great stuff. I'll tell you what, the weather is actually surprisingly nice. It's up almost around 80 degrees. We're going to have the same thing tomorrow. Then after that, I think we can kind of get back to planet Earth. But we'll enjoy it for a couple of days, right? Over the next few days, couple of good friends who I think are going to... resonate with everybody are going to be with us. Chris Ruddy, longtime buddy who created Newsmax, Newsmax TV. They're about ready to go public. And he'll be here tomorrow. We've got Bill O'Reilly coming on Monday. Dinesh D'Souza coming on Monday. A little bit later today, Jason Mayarez, the Attorney General of our beloved Commonwealth, is going to be along. Talk about these 1,600 folks who have not been disenfranchised. I mean, it's just crazy to hear the hyperbole. It's ridiculous as well. But all of that being said, I want to talk a little bit about what is or is not happening in the city of Richmond. I'm continually perplexed by what happens and even more perplexed by what doesn't happen. I don't understand how people are not fighting for better schools. I do not understand how anybody on that Richmond City Council could be against cutting taxes to help people a little bit, and I'm still trying to figure out why there are so many people who have lined up to oppose Paul Goldman as he's running for city council. And Paul's with us. Paul, good afternoon, sir.
Well, I have the answer for you.
All right, well, let's hear it, baby.
Okay. I'm the only one who wants to cut taxes. I'm supported by the police, by the firefighters, by Manoli LaPosse, the Republican leader in my district. And I'm the former chairman of the Democratic Party. So you say, Paul, how could they be against you? Let me give you the word, zoning.
Oh.
What does that mean? The sleeper issue in this race between me and my opponents is this.
Mm-hmm.
I just found out the developers are his biggest contributor. You want to know why? Because the developers want to do away with single lot zoning. So all you folks that own a house in the first district and even the renters, they want to be able to buy some land and build whatever they want, whenever they want, as high as they want. And I'm the only one who's told them, no, I'm not going along with that. We're not going to change the zoning laws to make the developers more powerful. And that's why they're opposing me, because my opponent, only been here for 3 years, who wrote a book criticizing the housing industry, now 100% in on it, because that's what they want, Jeff. Control the council so the developers can run this city even more than they're doing it now.
Now, tell me about this single-family zoning. I'm not an attorney, as you know. I don't understand all the minutia with it, but I understand that you own a home, and next door there's somebody else who owns a home, and next door, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Last thing you would want, I would think, would be somebody coming in, buying that home, knocking it down, and putting up a skyscraper. But you're saying that's fundamentally what they're talking about.
Well, you know, in generality, so because it is very technical, so we're talking generally. The normal, you know, you go through the district, you have a lot of great neighborhoods. Richmond is a great neighborhood town. Mm-hmm. And basically, you have single-family homes. Okay, now if someone wants to come in and put in an apartment building or multifamily or a condo or something 3, 4, 5 stories up, you got to go and get special permission from city council. Well, developers don't like that. Okay. They don't like that at all. So what they want to do is get the council to change the law. So if you own a property, as a matter of right, you can build what you want within reason. And I'm the only one who says, wait a minute, that's crazy. You want to take away the power of the citizens at all? I want to empower the citizens. Look, this affects renters. It affects homeowners, because you don't want to wake up one morning and find out that your view is now of somebody's trash can 3 stories up. But right, that's what they want.
So your opponent, and remind me, the first district, who is the councilman right now?
Andreas Addison is running for mayor, who's 100% in, just like he endorsed my opponent, naturally. Look, the developers got the baseball stadium, which my opponent was for, which Addison was for, and I opposed. $170 million of city money has gone to the baseball stadium. But did you read what happened? One of the developers of the surrounding area, which is supposed to produce the revenue to pay for the baseball stadium, they dropped out of the deal. Yep. We don't know whether they'll ever get that Diamond District fixed, but one thing I can tell you, we're already on the hook for $170 million so the developers can build their baseball stadiums. Wow. Man, they are laughing at us. Really, big chuckle.
Yeah, a big chuckle. Paul, how come you didn't run for mayor? Why didn't you run for mayor instead of city council?
Well, let's go out. The leadership of the Democratic Party statewide doesn't like me ever since I got Doug Wilder elected, right? You remember that. They didn't want Doug Wilder elected. Then the Republicans kicked me off the Council of Higher Education because I had a radical education idea that women and men should be allowed to go to all colleges equally. You know, that was in 1993, not 1893. Oh, these are basic stuff. Imagine me as the mayor being able to call balls and strikes. I mean, if they're spending a ton to beat me to be on council, what would they have spent to stop me from being mayor?
Yeah.
The only people are mad that I didn't run for mayor are the political consultants on the other side who could have made a fortune running the campaign again.
Paul Goldman is joining us. Paul is actually running for the Richmond City Council, the first district. And so for you, Paul, it really is, it's about zoning up close and personal. But I know you, like me, like Doug Wilder, the three of us are all about the education that the kids who go to RPS are not getting. How do we fix that, for goodness sakes?
Okay, you know, I'm the only one running who says we got to fix it.
Yeah.
Okay, Tim Kaine and I, George Allen, you remember who George Allen? George
I
Allen
do. Yes,
and I wrote
yes,
a,
I do.
We wrote an article. I was a Democrat, he's a Republican. I'm the only person that actually believes in this kind of bipartisanship. You know, that's, I guess I'm really, really a dinosaur in that regard. But we wrote a piece, mm-hmm, pointed out that we're going to go on the age of the facilities. Richmond has some of the oldest facilities in the state, and you can't teach a 21st century education in a building that was built 150 years ago for a different curriculum. So we pointed out, Tim Kaine went along with it, Eric Cantor, I got it through the House of Representatives. 2002, taking us 13 years, and then Joe Manchin killed it. But we have a plan to modernize all the school buildings in Richmond and save the city $300 million doing it. I can't get the mayor. I have yet to get a member of council. You can't get the Richmond Education Association to back something that's so sensible and so bipartisan. Number two, no more social promotion. This right. idea that you're just passing somebody, that's not helping anybody. Right. Anybody. Now, and give you an example, I think, why the police endorsed me and the firefighters. It plays into this. When you ask the police or the firefighters, let's take the firefighters, okay? Mm-hmm. When they go to a building, and let's assume they don't say to the owner, well, we brought all our equipment, we're all getting good pay. Gee, we're sorry the building burnt down, but you can't blame us. A firefighter wants to get what? Judged by results. Did I save the building or not? That's but right. notice, that's not how our teachers and education system wants to get judged. They don't want to get judged on how well the kids do. They just want to get judged on the inputs. How much money? How much of this? That's the difference. We have to remember schools are for kids.
Yep.
That's the goal, is to educate the kids. And if you're not doing that, you're not doing your job.
Paul Goldman is joining us. Paul is running for the first district city council seat in the city of Richmond. Paul, you know, you and I, at least in theory, are in different political teams, and we have different ideas about different things, blah, 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 blah. But these are all meat and potatoes issues, man. These
Correct.
Are not... These are not things that demand a D or an R attached to them. Having enough police officers to do the job, having enough firefighters out there keeping people safe, having a school system that works, and having a neighborhood that has some degree of neighborhood integrity, to
yeah.
me, seems to be essential. I really wish that there were more people who were advocating for such common sense ideas.
Well, you know, it's a little surprising to me, but it's just unfortunate. As my opponent, as other people, they're tied to this stony machine. They don't want to turn the page because it isn't just the policies. Let me tell you this. You know what their plan is? How madly they're fooling the renters and all those folks in this city? I really think it's shameful. My opponent, and Mayor Stoney, to do this. They are going to overtax the property owners mm-hmm. on purpose. $40 million. They have it built into the budget. $40 million. That's why they won't go along with my tax cut. Well, if you give them a $40 million slush fund, where they're promising that we're going to subsidize the rent of people, let me tell you something. That is phony, baloney. If you look at their plan, most people are not going to get a benefit at all. That's really just a slush fund. And we've got to get past this, what I call, really, it's a cesspool of corruption and inefficiency down there. We need to put the people first. It's not the government's money. It's your money.
Look, I love hearing you say it, Paul, and I hope that you are out there knocking on doors and kissing babies. Don't get that confused where you're knocking babies and kissing doors, because that's not going to work. But you got to get out there. Are you feeling good about the election campaign right about now in that first district?
Well, you know, it's really interesting for me. You know, Manoli Lapasse, the Republican leader, he's endorsed me.
Yeah.
The police have endorsed me. The firefighters have endorsed me. The Richmond Crusade of Voters has endorsed me. And, of course, I'm a former chairman of the Democratic Party. It's the broadest, most bipartisan coalition ever in the first district, which is why all these people are so desperate to stop me, because if I get elected, you know, I have a mandate. And what they're saying is, look, if we can stop Goldman in the first district, and we can show that the people in the first district don't really care if we cut their taxes, don't really care if we cut spending, don't really care if we change the zoning, because if they did, they would have elected Goldman. They're just never going to listen to anybody in the first district ever again.
It's a great point. Well, listen, Paul, you know, I don't live in the city, probably for all of the aforementioned reasons, but...
it's a great city. It's a great city.
I agree with you. No, I agree with you. I wish you nothing but the best, man. I really do. I think you're bringing a dollop of common sense to this discussion. You're trying to point things out that are all about real people and real issues, and I appreciate you being here. I'm hoping that Tuesday evening we'll get to report that you're the newest member of the Richmond City Council. If folks do live in that first district, Paul, and they want to either learn more about you or reach out to you, is there a good way for them to do that?
Yeah, you can go GoldmanForCouncil.com. That okay. has all this stuff. And, you know, it's GoldmanUSA@AOL.com. I love, you know, just email me. That's fine. But, yeah, I tell you what, if I win, you get the first interview.
I love it. All right. Paul, I appreciate you being here. You're a good guy. I mean, we can disagree on a lot, and we agree on a lot more, I think. And that's one of the things I have always appreciated about you. That is Paul Goldman. He is running for the city council in the city of Richmond. To have the endorsements he has, the leader of the Republican Party in that district, the police, the firefighters, he's just raising issues that are legit issues, and he's hopefully being heard. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Garbage! Trash and garbage and garbage and trash and trash and garbage. Hey, Germ, are you keeping track of all of the promises that have been made recently? No, well, Paul Goldman just announced that if, in fact, he is victorious, he wins the city council seats, first district, then I get the first interview with him post-victory. That's nice. Last time Chris Ruddy was on, he said, you remember this? You take notes? Because I took notes. I take notes on every sort of meeting. People don't realize that. I sit quietly. I pay attention. But make no mistake, I'm taking notes. What did Chris Ruddy say? Do you remember? Chris Ruddy said that he would bring me up to the stock exchange when Newsmax actually goes public. So that would be, I would love that. I don't have any other promises. No. Yeah, right. I get to ring the bell. He said that. And he said that in front of the dozens of people who were here that day. So I'm hoping maybe he remembers that, or maybe he's saying that to everybody. I don't know. But it'll be a good time. Chris Ruddy's going to be with us tomorrow. I got O'Reilly's latest book the other day. In fact, I got off the plane, you know, came home after the trip out to Chicago, delivered the speech, did the workshop and stuff. It was really great stuff. And I was really feeling very, very good. But it was a long day of travel. And I came into the house, you know, and Heidi said hi, and the dogs were excited. And then I turned and there was a nice FedEx box there. And I thought, well, I didn't order anything, so let's see what it is. And it was Bill O'Reilly's newest book. It's called Confronting the Presidents. And he's got a very nice inscription.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In there, and I did share it on social media. I put it up over on Facebook. Not sure if I put it up on X. I'll see if I can find the photo and I'll put it up there. But Bill O'Reilly will be with us on Monday, as will Dinesh D'Souza. So that's all pretty good stuff. Coming up in a couple of moments, Jason Miaras, the Attorney General of our beloved Commonwealth, he's going to be here. He's a solid guy, too. And he said, we're going to pick up the mantle of common sense and the rule of law, and we're going to go to the Supreme Court of the United States. And the Supremes said, you're right, Attorney General Miaras. You're right, Governor Youngkin. Common sense says you can't have those people on the voting rolls. We'll talk with Jason Miaras just moments from now. 4:57, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Wednesday afternoon. We are less than a week away from Election Day. Of course, early voting has been happening here in our beloved Commonwealth since when? Last Christmas? God, it just seems like it never ends. But we've got the actual Election Day coming up on Tuesday. I do want to remind you quickly, tomorrow Old buddy of mine, Chris Ruddy, the man who is, well, he's Newsmax. Everything Newsmax. He created Newsmax. He's brought it to this point. And Chris is going to be with us tomorrow. Bill O'Reilly is going to be with us on Monday. Dinesh D'Souza is joining us on Monday as well. And today I'm very, very happy to say that the Attorney General of our beloved Commonwealth, Jason Meares, is joining us. Mr. Attorney General, thank you for being here.
Jeff, great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me.
The pleasure is always mine. So let's talk about what the Supreme Court just said vis-a-vis Governor Youngkin's decision that we were going to uphold the law in the Commonwealth. Seems like a crazy idea.
Yeah, this really novel idea that Virginia citizens should be the ones deciding Virginia elections.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Supreme Court's stay, I think, was an important win for common sense and for the rule of law. And, you know, the idea that the Department of Justice would bring this suit 25 days before an election on a law that was signed by then-Governor Tim Kaine, a Democrat, that had been in place and enforced by previous Democrat governors and Republican governors 90 days before election, and then request that we violate our own law by ordering us to place non-citizens, self-identified non-citizens, back in the voter rolls, just show, I think, kind of the misplaced priorities in Merrick Garland's Justice Department.
Were you shocked even a little bit after the governor said, yes, we are going to uphold the rule of law, we're going to deal with a law that's been on the books since Tim Kaine signed it into law? Were you even a little bit upset when Merrick Garland's DOJ said, oh, wait a minute, we're going to fight you on this?
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, for two reasons. One, this is the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division. I could think of no greater civil right, obviously, than the right to vote. But if a non-citizen is to vote, that means they're canceling out the vote of a U.S. citizen. They're literally taking away your right. That is astonishing to me. The second is, if you remember the SAFE Act that was articulated in advance by Speaker Johnson in, mm-hmm. in the U.S. Congress, that would at the federal level require U.S. citizenship to vote, which, by the way, it's federal law.
Right.
But the biggest argument the left was using, the Biden administration was using, was, listen, this is not necessary. It's not needed. Why? Because each individual state have their own tools and their own mechanisms to make sure and ensure that non-citizens are not voting in our elections. Well, so that was their excuse to defeat the SAFE Act. Now you have a law signed by a Democratic governor, and they are wasting the resources of the full weight and power of the Department of Justice to try to stop a state that is simply following a law that says people that self-identify as a non-citizen cannot be on our voting rolls.
Right.
It really is astonishing, and I think it really breeds a level of cynicism with government that they're doing this.
Now, here's the thing, Jason. I looked at this, and just like you, I thought, wait a minute, you guys on the left have told me over and over and over and over and over again that this is not an issue, it doesn't happen, it's no big deal, so why would you be fighting back on this? And the language that was used on the part of the sort of the bum kissing media was like, oh my god, it's a purge. They use that term more.
Not a purge,
right? Okay, so explain to everybody what it really
right.
is.
I will be honest with you. The one thing I've seen time and time again, the legacy media just confirms, particularly how they cover the story, you have too many reporters that are more interested in being first
yep.
than getting it right.
Yep.
And so they will repeat these ad nauseum talking points, but they actually haven't looked at the facts. Here are the facts. Under Ralph Northam and the previous administration, they extended and expanded driving privileges for non-citizens. All right? You go into the DMV, you're seeking driving privileges, and you check a box affirming you're not a citizen. You are mm-hmm. informing the DMV, I am not a United States citizen. I am not a citizen of this country.
Right.
That information is then sent to the Department of Elections. They compare them to their voter rolls. They see these individuals' names pop on a case-by-case basis. I want to emphasize, a case-by-case basis mm-hmm. where they see this is an individual that is positively self-identified as a non-citizen. They've ended up on our voter rolls, whether by accident or something more nefarious. I'll let your listeners decide that. But they have showed up on our voting rolls, and then we send a letter to that person informing them, just informing you, you have self-identified as a non-citizen. That is a violation of Virginia law. You have 14 days to come talk to your registrar, get this cleared out. If you are indeed, if this is a mistake, if you check the wrong box, clear it with your registrar, make sure we get this clear. Mm-hmm. And it's a case-by-case business. A purge is for 90 days before an election for a state to say, you know what, anybody with the last name Meares, I'm getting them off the voting rolls. It's not an individual case-by-case basis. And so that is a very, very specific legal term that these reporters were repeating ad nauseum, and they never, ever bothered to really see what exactly was happening with elect. By the way, Democratic governors, Ralph Northam and Terry McCall, also within the 90-day period, removed non-citizens on a case-by-case basis off their voting rolls. Where is the Washington Post? Where is the Richmond Times-Dispatch? Where are these reporters then? Dead silent, which I think says a lot more about them than about the common sense measures that the Governor Youngkin was doing.
Absolutely. I want to remind everybody that Jason Meares is joining us, the Attorney General of our beloved Commonwealth. Let's talk about the numbers as well, Jason, because, again, if you listen to the legacy news media people, these are hacks. It's just unbelievable hackerama that they've established. But they want you to believe it's a purge. You just explain that it's not. They want people to believe, oh, my gosh, there's a million people that are going to be denied their right to vote. What are the real numbers? And are there remedies on Election Day?
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you for bringing that up. So it's roughly 1,500 people that are self-identified as non-citizens. So let's say, hypothetically, you've gone to DMV, you checked the wrong box, you've actually informed me, DMV, that you're not a citizen when you are.
Right.
Let's just say you decide to ignore the letters from the Department of Elections to respond within 14 days. You're removed off your voter rolls. You go to vote. You're allowed in Virginia same day voter registration. So that's the ultimate backdrop. You're allowed to do both same day voter registration or register to vote. You're also allowed to sign an affidavit that day attesting that you are indeed a citizen. So you have multiple safeguards. The right to vote is the most sacred right we have as Americans. I have vivid memory as a child. My mother was not able to exercise her right to vote for who the leader of her country was until she was in her late 30s after fleeing Cuba. And taking me with her so I could see my mother proudly casting her vote for the first time. It was a special, special, special moment. So I recognize what a unique privilege it is. We are protecting that privilege. We're also making sure that your vote isn't canceled by a non-citizen that inadvertently or nefariously votes in an election that they're not allowed. By the way, that is a federal law. You are not allowed, if you are not a U.S. citizen, to vote in a federal election. So we are trying to both follow the law, and I think the standard should be easy to vote, hard to cheat. That should be the standard we're striving to. And I know that's the standard that Governor Youngkin is seeking as well.
Well, I think that's absolutely a perfect standard. And if I can follow up on that, Jason Meares, our Attorney General, is joining us. If it's a federal law that would be broken by having a person vote inappropriately, non-citizen, are you then not protecting them from violating a federal law and perhaps being subject to prosecution and incarceration and all sorts of punishment?
That is an excellent point, Jeff, because think about it. Once you're on the voting rolls, what do we get? We get text messages. We get constant direct mail pieces to our mailbox, text messages, email, inundating us saying, go vote, go vote, go vote. They're inducing you. Perhaps you're a non-citizen. You're not a citizen. You're here legally, but you're not a citizen. You get all these text messages. You get all these things in the mail saying, go vote. And you think, okay, well, maybe I do have privileges. Maybe I didn't realize I had before. And they're literally, inadvertently, by keeping on the voting rolls and ensuring you're getting all of this communication from the campaigns, you could argue, yes, we're protecting you from possibly being induced to go vote when you're not a citizen.
Yeah.
I think that's a really important point that you make. And we want to make sure that Virginia law is followed. That's what the governor is doing. Both he and I swore an oath January 15th of 2022 to defend the U.S. Constitution, the Virginia Constitution, and faithfully execute the laws of the Commonwealth of Virginia. And that's what we've been doing.
Quick question, as I know you got a million things you're doing, and I don't want to keep you over, but is this it? Is this the final word since the Supreme Court said that this is what we're going to do, or is there some other nonsense that we're going to see from Merrick Garland's band of happy people there at the DOJ?
Well, I don't anticipate anything between now and Election Day.
Okay.
This whole procedure is the plaintiffs, the moving parties, sought a emergency injunction to prevent us from following the law. The district court judge granted that. We appealed that to the Supreme Court. Sometime in the next year, this will be litigated in federal court.
Gotcha.
But as for purposes of this election, we're going to be able to follow Virginia law.
I love it. Well, listen, I think the world of you. You know that. I think that you and Governor Youngkin are doing the right things for my Commonwealth. I appreciate that that you're doing it on a regular basis and on a personal level, man. I just always appreciate you making some time for us. It means the world to me.
Always a pleasure, Jeff.
Thank you, sir. Next one, my friend. Have a good one.
You
too. That is Jason Meares. He is the Attorney General of our beloved Commonwealth. This is all about common sense, kids. This is not a purge. This is not targeting anybody. This is not denying anybody any rights. This is about enforcing a law that has been in place since Tim Kaine signed it into law. It is about keeping people from violating a federal law. And despite what the legacy news media bottom feeders would have you believe, it's not a million voters being denied their rights. It is about 1,500 people who said to the DMV, nope, I am not a citizen. Could they have made a mistake? Yes. Did they get opportunities to correct that? Yes, they would have been contacted and said, dear Mr. So-and-so or dear Miss Such-and-such, you said on your DMV form that you are not a citizen. Is that what you meant to say? And you could write back or check the right back. Oh, my gosh, no, I made a total mistake. Okay, well, we're going to fix that. Let's say you ignore all of those entreaties that come from the Commonwealth of Virginia saying, did you make a mistake when you said this? Is this what you meant to say? And then you show up at your polling place. And they say, well, you're not even on the voting rolls anymore. You were removed. Well, what happens? Well, you still get to vote. It's a provisional ballot while the process is adjudicated, if you will. So nobody's being denied their rights. In fact, people are being protected from violating a federal law. You are saving people from becoming a felon. I think that's a pretty good thing. 516, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Garbage. You know what I would like to see? Somebody doing a cartoon. Put a meme together. A whole bunch of us marching into the polling place, voting for Donald Trump, and then marching out the other side. And you could tag it, garbage in, garbage out. Why are we playing all of this Oscar the Grouch stuff? Germ, remind everybody why we're doing that. All right. One more time. Let's hear. Can you hear that enough? I don't think so. Yeah. So you're garbage and I'm garbage. I got it. Now, I am not upset or depressed or insulted. Why? Because I long ago gave up on the idea that the leftists thought anything else of me. I see it on a regular basis interacting with leftists. Some of the leftists might be in positions that would shock you. And you go, really? And you go, oh, yeah, yeah. Those are leftists. And that's exactly how they think. So I'm not surprised. I guess the surprise is that Joe Biden actually did say the quiet part out loud, as they say.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
Yeah. There's another cleanup on aisle Biden, but even the usual suspects who are trying their best to put this mess back in the can, they can't do it because there it is. He said it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no spinning. There's no dissecting. There's no pointing in another direction. He said it. And there is a part of me that wonders if he simply shared the truth with everybody because, frankly, he's not a big Kamala Harris fan either. We got Mike Dickinson joining us at 5:35, our citizen journalist, just back from the biggest Trump rally in history. 5:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yum! Oh, yeah! Me too! Oh, I love trash. And here we are, you and I are just wallowing in the trash because, you know, we're garbage. And if you forgot that, where is Uncle Joe? Did Joe Biden remind us of that?
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Mr. Biden. Look, he's a creepy dude. You know that. I know that.
He got hairy leg that turned blonde in the sun.
I repeat, he is a creepy dude.
And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again.
I repeat again, he is a creepy, creepy dude. Right, all right. You keep snorting over there. But he said what the leftists believe, that you and I are garbage. And there are some people I know today who are just so upset. Oh, my God. I can't believe he said it. I can totally believe he said it.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
Right. And you'll notice that of all the people that we've chatted with and all the text I've shared with you coming in on the Chronic Air of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140, the one person who has consistently said they're not the least bit disturbed or upset or insulted has been me. Why? Because I knew this. Every once in a while, I come across something where I think, huh, yeah, I knew that. When people want to tell me something about historical professional wrestling, I can sit back and go, yeah, I knew that.
Come on, man.
Well, it's true. I know. There are one or two things I know. Law enforcement procedures. Every once in a while, I know a thing or two. So when I hear Joe Biden tell me that I'm garbage because I'm supporting President Trump, I'm not the least bit surprised. Not surprised at all. I just want you to bear that in mind and keep that front and center, because that is exactly how those hardcore leftists, well, even the marginal leftists at this point, every leftist now thinks that about you, thinks that about me. And Mike Dickinson, oh, come on, Mike Dickinson's got his own trash can as far as they're concerned. Mike, welcome, my friend. Good to have you here.
Always good to have you. I'm living the good life in my trash can, surrounded by trash.
There you go. And say, I love trash. I mean, how could you? Right? I'm going to go out on a limb, but you correct me if I'm wrong. But you also probably not the least bit surprised that Joe Biden said what he said.
I'm not shocked whatsoever. Anybody who's dealt with the Democrats, local Democrats in Richmond, state Democrats in Virginia, local leftist people in the community that consider themselves to be Democrat, they all look down on us. They all think that they're elitist, that they know everything, that you can't dare hurt their feelings, but they can stomp all over yours.
That's right.
And that they can sit there in their little place and make judgments upon you because they know everything. And in their world, you're trash. That's what the whole theory of how the Democrat Party operates these days. That's what they think. They're elitist, and they think if you're not one of them and believe everything they do, you're trash.
Yeah. Boy, I wish that weren't the case, but it is what it is. And Mike, you're a guy who lives in the real world. You just take people as they are. When people say something to you, when they tell you who they are, you got to believe them.
I do 100%. And let me tell you, when we did Trump trains in Richmond in 2020, mm-hmm. the amount of vile of people that we saw, and this is Henrico County, this is the west end of Henrico County, this is Monument Avenue, this is Patterson Avenue,
yep.
the amount of women, who, women especially, who came out, the same ones that support Kamala Harris, they'd come out and they would give us the finger, they would shout profanities at us, we had guns pulled on us, and these are by people who claim that they're the most tolerant, and, oh, you have to be super tolerant, oh, I'm offended by you, I'm so offended, but yet they don't have the patience or the tolerance for anybody else. But that's the Democrats. That is the Democrats.
Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. They are all about tolerance and inclusion and diversity, so long as you will agree with every single thing that they say.
I mean, what if somebody called diversity thrift garbage? What if somebody called one of their you know, LGBTQ community? What if someone made jokes about them or called them garbage? Mm-hmm. Then Joe Biden and everybody else will be on TV crying to death about it. Oh, this is not right. It's hate speech. It's hate speech. But yet they can do that to us? No, it doesn't work like that. They're the ones that keep pushing this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly right. It's exactly right. It is all about how much they despise those of us who are, well, not them.
The peace and love we are. We're the people that get along with everybody. They're the ones that throw a conniption fit.
That's exactly right. Hey, Mike, so give us a little lay of the land. You were down there in Georgia. You joined us as on a special day to provide some report on the biggest Trump rally, I guess, in history. How did it wind up going, and how did you feel walking out of there at the end?
Oh, it was so great. President Trump delivered, as he always does. Somebody on his campaign, including maybe President Trump, is a fan of WWE, because you can tell with the production video and the pyro and Trump.
Nope, I think we keep losing Mike. All right, see if.
I think it was Tucker Carlson asked how many people in this crowd today are going to be first-time voters for the Republican Party or former Democrats. And I would say about a fourth of the people there did raise their hand.
Wow.
A fourth of the people. Because they're sick of this economy and all of the issues that Kamala's caused and Joe Biden's caused. Another good time was, you know, we hear all this stuff about Kamala Harris being proud of sending money overseas and doing this and that. Mm-hmm. And you never hear her or Joe Biden address it anytime. They never address the people of Western North Carolina. Tulsi Gabbard called them out on that to everybody's applause. Yeah. So I think everybody united around that. I think that there was such a cross-section of people there. There were men, there were women, there were white people, black people, there were Asians. There was every demographic that you can think of was represented there. And, you know, this whole idea that the Democrats like to portray, and LeVar Stoney portrays it all the time, that, you know, oh, you know, Trump and his supporters, they're all racist. We have to vote for Kamala Harris because everybody that Trump supporters are all racist. Mm-hmm. Totally untrue. Right. I was sitting in line between two black women from Atlanta, Georgia, and this was the first time they'd ever voted. They were ever going to vote for a Republican or come out to a rally for a Republican. Wow. And I talked to them, and they were like, that they're so sick of the way that America is going, how nobody can get ahead with the way that people are taxed to death when they work, how the Democrats are so focused on giving money to everybody else except Americans.
That's right.
The ones that are paying the taxes.
Yeah.
The Democrats want to give money to they want to give money to illegals. They want to give money to Ukraine. They want to give money here. Money going everywhere except for the people who are in America. And that was the prevailing thought of a lot of people I spoke to.
Well, and Mike, you have to look at it this way. Every single one of us, regardless of our skin color, our gender, our religion, our political affiliation, any of that, we go to the grocery store, we try to buy groceries, we see that things are more expensive, way more expensive. We go to the gas station to put gas in our car or diesel in the truck or whatever it is, we see that that is more expensive. Maybe we've got kids or a niece, a nephew, another family member who believes now that they're just priced out of ever buying a house. These are not issues that pertain to political affiliation. These are things happening to Americans in America at the hands of people who seemingly hate Americans.
Yes, and it seems so everybody in America, the one thing that really gives you the freedom to do what you want to do is if you can economically prosper.
That's
if you can work, if you can buy a house, if you can put money in your pocket, if you can save money to pass to your heirs or your kids, generational wealth. And it just, you know, the Democrats are doing everything they can to take that money from you and spend it somewhere else. They don't have answers. I mean, Kamala Harris, how arrogant can you be when you've said multiple times, what would I do different the last 4 years? Oh, I wouldn't do anything different. I think things are just peachy keen the way they are in America. Things are just super great for everybody.
Yep.
Well, they're not super great.
That's right.
Inflation's terrible. People can't afford to go to the grocery store. And this affects everybody. And I mean, everybody wants to do better. Everybody wants to save a little money. Everybody wants to buy a house. Everybody wants to have something to leave their kids.
Yep.
And in the Democrats' America, that ain't happening.
That's exactly right. Mike, man, great stuff as always. I'm always appreciative of you making time for us. I want people to follow you over on X. Would you mind sharing with everybody your handle on X?
Yes, follow me on X. It's MikeD4RVA, MikeD4RVA. We all need to pray hard for President Trump to win on Election Day next Tuesday. And please pray for me because I'm going to be poll watching in Fulton County, which was the epicenter of all the controversy 4 years ago. I'm a poll watcher there.
Oh, man.
So you might see something. You might see me on some news next week. I don't know. I'm not going to let them cheat again. Special
all right,
enforcer,
well,
special referee.
We'll keep that all front and center. And next week, I got to go with you to talk a little bit about Henrico County's Commonwealth's attorney apparently
giving
on this prosecution. But we'll get to that, I promise. That is Mike Dickinson, MikeD4RVA over on X. It is 545, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. I do as well, Oscar. I do. I love trash. If half of America is garbage, then I'm telling you right now, I love garbage. Absolutely think the world of my fellow Americans, unlike certain people.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
Just vile. Absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. How anybody can believe that is beyond me. Now, and make no mistake, he believes it. And Kamala Harris believes it. In fact, Kamala Harris did not condemn what he said. Isn't that the next? That's what we do now, right? We ask people, are you going to disavow what so-and-so said? Well, she didn't. I have her responses. When she was asked about it, she said, and I quote, he clarified his comments. No. She told people, well, I spoke with him after the remark, quote, but it didn't come up. You know why it didn't come up in conversation? Because she agrees with him. Because she, too, believes that you and I, who are supporting Donald Trump, are garbage. She would not acknowledge that there are millions of Americans who now feel insulted by the comment. She didn't understand what that meant. I don't understand how that could be. Well, I don't know. If somebody just called you a piece of trash, wouldn't you be a little insulted? She doesn't understand that. She did say that she disagrees with criticism of people based on who they vote for. Even though just yesterday her hand-picked running mate, you know, the guy who's not a Jew, Tampon Tim Walz, compared all of us supporting Donald Trump to Nazis. You think there's a reevaluation going on inside the Kamala Harris campaign? Like, maybe we should have rolled the dice and picked the Jewish guy from Pennsylvania after all. Because we're still not getting the votes that we thought we would get. By the way, what did Tampon Tim Walz have to say about it? Because he was asked about it. He said, and I quote, the president's doing what he needs to do. Wow. Okay. When he was pushed a little bit further, Tampon Tim apparently blamed President Trump for what Joe Biden had to say. Now, I've got to confess, I did not hear or see that part, mainly because I just don't care. Right? That's a very powerful tool. Did you ever hear the expression, freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose? If, in fact, you believe that you are free, you don't have anything left to lose, right? You're not going to be intimidated, you're not going to be oppressed, and you're not going to be insulted. So Joe Biden can say that. I'm not upset or insulted personally. I'm insulted for other people, but it's not a shock to me because that's what he believes. That's what the leftists believe. And there's another phrase. God, it came from one of those books that was so popular for a long time. I forget what it is. I don't know, one of those books. It was a really good book. Something like, there's nothing new under the sun. Something like that. Anyway, tomorrow morning, John Reed will be here, 6 a.m., and I want to make sure you're listening to John. I do my best every morning to be there right at the beginning. Gary Hess does a great job with news. John does a great job with his commentary. And every single day, I'm like on the edge of my seat saying, Is today the day that John announces, makes it official, he's running for lieutenant governor? I don't know. Nobody tells me anything. But maybe he'll do that tomorrow. All right, have yourself a fantastic evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.